Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there, thanks for joining us again on Jesus Revealed. This is a tremendous study that we're doing. We're working our way through the Bible, and we're looking at pictures of Jesus, effectively predictions of Jesus, but pictured in people's lives throughout the Old Testament. And we've spent quite a bit of time looking at Joseph, and we'll have a couple of more sessions on that because it's such a tremendous picture of the Lord Jesus. I think William MacDonald or some of these great men like Ironside have predicted there's hundreds of indirect and often direct pictures of the Lord Jesus in the life of Joseph. So that's very interesting in itself. We finished last time in Genesis chapter 41, and Joseph has by this stage in his life story been released from prison. You remember that he was in prison. We don't know how long, anything from 2 years to 11 years, depending on really how long he was incarcerated for. And he has these dreams. He's had dreams since he was a teenager. God spoke to this man. In fact, Psalm 105 makes it very, very clear that God had spoken to Joseph on many, many occasions, and that God had a very close, or Joseph had a very close relationship with God in this sense, that he was prepared to listen to God's voice. And Psalm 105 tells us about that God spoke to him, and until God's word came into reality, Joseph had to be patient, and he was tried and he was tested, and he had to learn from that. Well, in this part of the story, he's now been released from prison. He shaved himself, he's got some fresh clothes on, and he's brought in front of Pharaoh. And we're not going to go through that again because we've dealt with it, but he tells Pharaoh the meaning of his double dream. Remember, Pharaoh had a double dream. And the reason he had a double dream, we're told, is because God doubled the dream unto Pharaoh twice. I'm reading now from Genesis 41. Because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So God is really emphasizing to this man, Pharaoh, this potentate, this powerful ruler. Here's a man who's as powerful as the President of the United States, or as powerful as some monarch or some great ruler in a country, and God is impressing on him that God is about to implement some world events that are totally unpredictable, and yet he's preparing him for it. Can I just stop there and say to you, God does often speak and prepare us for circumstances in life that we don't know are coming. God knows, and he prepares us for them. Now, upon being giving Pharaoh this explanation, he gives him advice, and he says to him, let Pharaoh look at a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And of course, at the end of the day, Pharaoh turns around and he says, you're the man, you're the right guy to do this job. And so this is where we're coming back into the story, but I just want to pick up something in verse 45 of Genesis 41, because it says there that he gave him a name, changed his name to Zaphnath-Paneah. Now, I was having a good look at that name, and it's very interesting. There's a whole divergence of opinions as to what it means. Some people say that the name most people agree is kind of uncertain as to which meaning is right, but there seems to be a range of explanations, and to some extent they all fit. Some say a man called Steindorf wrote many years ago, and he said it means the God has said he will live. Well, that kind of fits in, doesn't it? The God has said he will live, because God had spoken through Joseph and people weren't going to live as a result. Others have suggested the God speaks and lives, very closely related. Someone else has said the man he knows. Now, there are other suggestions about sustainer of life, the abundance of life, and that comes from Kenneth Woost. Now, that would be true as well. Joseph became the sustainer of life as he advised the people to farm for their 7 years and store the 20% of the produce and then bring it out and sell it to the nation and the nations round about in the remaining 7 years of trouble. I like one of the explanations. I was taught when I was a young fella, and that was quite a long while ago, that his name had a double meaning. And I was struggling to find out who actually said this, because you know the way you hear things and you take them as being true, and then you think, I wonder where that comes from. And I heard that one of the meanings of the names would have been to the Egyptians, saviour of the world, and then to the Hebrews, it would mean revealer of secrets. I like that. Harry Ironside, one of the great Bible teachers who spent a lot of time in North America, he writes that the Egyptians would call him Saviour of the World, which is what Safnath-Paneah would mean to them, and to the Hebrews the name would mean Revealer of Secrets. But I did struggle to find out where does that come from. I'll tell you what conclusion I came to in a moment or two. But let me paint you a picture. I'm reading from Harry Ironside because it is really exciting the way he describes it. He says this: Joseph was highly exalted. He was also highly extolled. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and they cried before him, bow the knee, down on their knees they went before him. The whole vast assembly of Egyptian dignitaries, the guards, the military chiefs, the lords, the ladies of the court, the attendants, the dancing girls, the aristocracy, the high and the low alike. From one end of the vast audience chamber to the other, the word was whispered like a rustling of a forest leaves before the evening breeze, Zaphnath-Paneah. That is Harry Ironside's very graphic description of that day when the slave boy brought out of the prison and exalted to the second most important position in the empire, in the nation, and men bow down before him. But I did discover this when thinking about the name. Jerome, who is a very old Christian writer, says this. In Coptic, the name Zaphnath-Paneah, remember Coptic is to do with Egyptian, there's still Coptic Christians today, it means a revealer of secrets. And he says that in Egyptian, it would be Salvatore Mundi, which means the saviour of the world. So that's interesting just to see. In Coptic, it's Satom Paneah, which I think there's a silent P at the beginning of that. And that certainly means salvation of the world. So here is this interpretation of this name, which means saviour of the world or revealer of secrets. Well, Joseph, he really was indeed the revealer of secrets. And I'm so glad that God brought Joseph into that position of power for this reason. He became the hope for a dying world because the world was in danger. He became the revealer of God's purposes and God's plans. And he was given a bride, and to him were given two children. Let me take you to the end of this chapter so that in the next recording we can start in chapter 42. He gets a bride, and after he's had his bride, the Bible says that he had two sons. He called one Manasseh. That was his firstborn. The name means to forget, because he said, I've forgotten all my toil, all my labour and agony in my father's house. And then he had another son. They called him Ephraim, and that means fruitful. And he says, because God has made me fruitful in the very land of my affliction. But you know the thing I notice? That when this man was exalted and this man was promoted, he didn't look for retribution or revenge. He could have gone to Potiphar. He could have gone to Potiphar's wife. He could have taken it out on his brothers. We're going to see shortly that he doesn't. He could have taken action in any manner of fronts because he was now in a powerful position. No, he's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, not only in suffering, but in exaltation. And he's the one who says, I have forgotten all my toil. The Lord Jesus, his toil of the cross and his suffering is long since gone. And he now lives in the power of an endless life. But he's called fruitful, or he calls his son Ephraim fruitful, because there's a fruitfulness as a result of his life that's just like the Lord Jesus. May God bless his word. Thank you so much for listening. Well, that was really good of you to listen to our podcast today. We hope you found it interesting. You can contact me on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk, or you can get to us through our email, stepcar61@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Teaching truth without a twist through Seek the Truth Bible Media Podcast.